We kind of take it for granted, don't we? Space and time, I mean, it's literally the fabric of our existence. Every single moment, every action happens within them, right?
But like, have you ever really thought about what space and time actually are? You know, down to their very essence.
It's one of those things, isn't it? It's so fundamental that it almost feels too obvious to even question. We're constantly moving through space, organizing our lives around time, but the deeper nature of what they are, well, that often gets overlooked.
Totally. And that's what I find so intriguing about today's deep dive. We're going to explore a totally different way of thinking about space and time. And to be honest, it's pretty mind-bending stuff. Our source material comes from the work of Dr. Richard Feehan, a research psychologist who's been wrestling with these big questions for years. Yeah, our listener sent in a whole bunch of his stuff, research notes, abstracts from papers, essays, it looks like, all sorts of things. Titles like Spatial Acquisition Device in the Four States of Space, Space, A Unified Field Theory, Our Expanding and Contracting Universe, Something About Psychology and Space-Time. A real treasure trove of ideas here. Oh, and there's a mention of a 2x2 matrix too, which, from what I gather, visually represents some of his core concepts.
So our mission, dear listener, is to try to unpack some of Dr. Feehan's core theories, especially this idea of the four states of space and this thing he calls the spatial acquisition device. Sometimes it's shortened to SA, sometimes BA. We'll try to figure out what all that means and see if we can glean any insights into, well, the nature of reality itself. Maybe you have a few aha moments along the way.
What's really interesting to me is that Dr. Feehan comes from a developmental psychology background, so he's approaching these topics, space and time, which usually fall under the realm of physics from a very different angle, could lead to some really fresh insights.
I'm excited to dig in. So let's start with one of the major influences on Dr. Feehan's work, Jean Piaget. Specifically, Piaget's four stages of cognitive development. Can you give us a quick rundown of those stages and why they're relevant here?
You bet. So Piaget, brilliant developmental psychologist, he observed how children's thinking changes over time and came up with these four main stages. First, you have the sensorimotor stage, that's from birth to about 2 years old. Then comes the pre-operational stage, roughly from 2 to 7. Then the concrete operational stage from about 7 to 11. And finally, the formal operational stage, starting in adolescence and continuing into adulthood. Each stage marks a pretty significant shift in how kids understand the world. You know, their thinking becomes more complex, more abstract as they grow.
Right. And within that very first stage, the sensorimotor stage, Dr. Feehan highlights this idea of object permanence. Could you explain what that is and why it's so important to his whole way of thinking about space?
Absolutely. Object permanence is the understanding that things continue to exist even when you can't see them. You know, out of sight, out of mind doesn't really apply anymore. Think about a little baby, like really young. If you show them a toy and then hide it under a blanket, poof, it's gone. They genuinely think it no longer exists. But then, usually around 8 to 12 months old, something clicks and they get it. Things still exist even when they're hidden. This is a huge milestone in cognitive development because it means the child is starting to form a mental representation of the world. They're starting to realize that objects have this permanent existence outside of their immediate perception.
It's like that's the foundation for understanding the physical world as solid and continuous. And this is what leads Dr. Feehan to propose this idea of a spatial acquisition device, this SAD, right? It reminds me of Noam Chomsky's idea of the language acquisition device, the LAD. Is that connection intentional? And are there any limitations to that analogy?
You're spot on. Dr. Feehan is definitely drawing on Chomsky's LAD here. The LAD, if you recall, is this idea that humans have this innate pre-wired ability to learn language. It's like there's this structure in our brains that just knows how to pick up the complexities of grammar and syntax. Dr. Feehan thinks something similar is happening with our understanding of space. We're born with this spatial acquisition device, the SED, that primes us to grasp spatial concepts. The beauty of this idea is that it explains why we're so good at understanding three-dimensional space. It just seems intuitive, right? But yeah, there are potential limitations to the analogy too. Language is structured in a more explicit way, you know, grammar rules and all that. Whereas our understanding of space develops in a more implicit way through interactions with our environment.
I see. So just like we seem to have a natural inclination towards language, maybe we have a similar predisposition for understanding the space around us. Now, Dr. Feehan also spent some time discussing Piaget's conservation experiments. What are those about, and how do they tie into this idea of SSE and our developing understanding of space?
Ugh, those are classic experiments. Piaget was so clever in designing these tasks to test children's understanding of how certain properties, like the number of things, the volume they take up, or the area they cover, stay the same even when the way they look changes. You know, a classic example is the conservation of number. You show a child two rows of coins, same number in each row. Then you spread out one of the rows so it looks longer. Little kids, those in the pre-operational stage, they'll often say the spread out row now has more coins. It isn't until they reach the concrete operational stage that they develop the logical reasoning to understand that, nope, the number of coins hasn't changed, even though the arrangement looks different.
Yeah, I remember those. And as kids progress through the stages, they go from understanding one dimension to two, then finally to three. Dr. Fien points out this really interesting pattern. While the exact ages might vary a bit, the order in which kids grasp these concepts seems to always be the same. It's always object permanence first, then the conservation of number, then area, then volume. That sequence is consistent.
Exactly. That consistency, that predictable progression in how children learn about spatial dimensionality is a key piece of evidence for Dr. Fien. It suggests there's some underlying, maybe innate mechanism guiding the process, which lends support to the idea of SSAD, this innate ability to understand space. And just as a little teaser of where his thinking might lead, he throws out the simplified equation, TSM, which he interprets as time key being essentially space S in motion, M.
Very intriguing. Okay, so we've got this background in developmental psychology, this notion of an inborn ability to understand space. Now, let's get into the meat of Dr. Fien's own theory, the one he calls the developmental time-space continuum theory and those four states of space. This is where I suspect things get really, really abstract.
Fasten your seatbelts. So Dr. Fien says that his time-space continuum theory has been evolving for, like, decades. What started as a cognitive theory has grown into this much bigger framework. It's become more about epistemology, which is, you know, the study of how we know things, how we know what we know. And he sees time and space as both physical realities and psychological ones. He uses this really interesting visual analogy, two triangles embedded within each other.
Triangles.
Yeah.
Tell me more. What do the triangles represent?
Okay, so picture this. One triangle is a right-angled triangle representing space. Inside it is another triangle, an isosceles triangle, this time representing time. The way these triangles relate to each other, it's meant to illustrate how the speed of space, I guess you could call it that, changes the nature of time. So at one extreme, you have the very tip, the apex of the space triangle. That represents space at a standstill stationary space. Dr. Fien equates this with a singularity, like the heart of a black hole, where everything we know about physics breaks down. And at that singularity, the time triangle also shrinks to a point, suggesting that time, as we experience it, just vanishes. In a singularity, space and time become one.
So stationary space, a black hole, a place where time essentially ceases to exist. Wild. What about the other extreme? What happens when space is moving really, really fast?
Right. At the opposite end of the spectrum, where space is moving at or near the speed of light, things get equally weird. Filled space, what we normally think of as mass, it transforms into pure energy, you know, like in Einstein's famous equation, E=mc². And under these conditions, the time triangle gets stretched out, bigger. This signifies time slowing down, which aligns with Einstein's theory of special relativity. So you see, the speed of space is directly affecting how time behaves. That's the foundation of his continuum theory.
This makes me think of the expanding universe, the Big Bang and all that. Does that factor into his theory?
Oh, absolutely. He sees the universe as this cyclical thing. It starts with the Big Bang, this huge explosion of energy and rapid expansion. You could say that in the beginning, time dominated. But as the universe evolves, you get stars forming, eventually collapsing into those black holes, those points of stationary space where time disappears. And these black holes act like, well, anchors. They slow down the expansion. Eventually, the universe has so many black holes, so much stationary space that the expansion reverses and everything starts collapsing back in. This would be the big crunch. And then boom, maybe another big bang and the cycle repeats.
Okay, so we've got these two triangles symbolizing this cosmic dance between space and time. Pretty cool analogy. Now let's dive into the four states of space. Yeah. What exactly are these four states?
Okay, this is where the rubber really meets the road. Dr. Fien says that everything in the universe can be boiled down to four fundamental states of space. First, there's stationary space. Then there's space in motion. Next, there's filled space, which is basically just another way of saying mass or matter. And finally, there's empty space. And his radical idea is this. By understanding these four states of space and how they interact, we can get a much clearer, more unified view of reality. It could even help us bridge the gap between some of our current theories in physics.
He visualizes these states in a 2x2 matrix, right?
Mm-hmm.
How's that laid out, and what does it tell us?
The matrix is key. It helps to visualize the whole thing. So one axis of the matrix looks at motion. Space can either be in motion, that's velocity, or it can be stationary. The other axis looks at matter. Space can either be filled, that's mass, or it can be empty. Then, when you look at where those categories intersect, well, that's where things get really interesting.
All right, let's break it down. What happens when you combine these different states of space? What kinds of insights emerge?
Let's start with stationary space. Now, if space is stationary and it's filled with mass, that, according to Dr. Fien, is basically object permanence. Remember, that's the idea that matter exists continuously, even when we're not looking at it. Now, what about stationary space that's empty? Well, that's a singularity, like the heart of a black hole, where, as we discussed, time ceases to exist. Okay, now let's move to space in motion. If you have empty space that's in motion, Dr. Fien says that is essentially time itself. And if you have filled space, mass in motion, well, that's what we call energy. So right off the bat, you have a radical proposition. Time equals empty space in motion. That's a pretty huge departure from how physicists normally think about space-time.
Whoa, that's a big idea. Empty space in motion equals time. What else does this matrix tell us about the way the universe works?
It gets pretty wild. Dr. Fien says that gravity is basically just the interaction between filled space and empty space. It's not really a force in the traditional sense, but more like an emergent property of the relationship between these two states of space. When object permanence, which is stationary filled space, starts moving, that's what we experience as acceleration. And the interplay between filled space and empty space that can be thought of as contracting and expanding gravity, explaining how gravity works on a large scale. When object permanence meets a singularity, well, that's your black hole. And then a singularity plus time, that could be the Big Bounce or even the Big Bang itself. The way object permanence transitions from a stationary state into motion, entering that time quadrant, that's how we perceive things going from random to linear. Then there's momentum, filled space in motion, interacting with a singularity. Dr. Fien thinks that might be the key to understanding the nature of mass and energy, as well as dark matter and energy, and maybe the most intriguing idea of all, the point where all four states intersect, momentum, time, object permanence, and singularity. He thinks that might be the underlying basis for quantum entanglement, and the outer boundary of all four states, maybe that's what gives rise to the holographic nature of the universe.
Okay, I need a minute to process all that. So it's like this simple 2x2 matrix is a blueprint for the entire universe, just based on these four states of space.
Yeah.
Amazing. Now, I know Dr. Fien also talks about space as a unified field theory and replacing space-time. How does this all tie together?
Well, the idea of space as a unified field theory is Dr. Fien's attempt to find a single framework that can explain both the massive structure of the universe, which is what general relativity deals with, and the behavior of tiny particles, which is the domain of quantum field theory. And he's coming at it from this psychological perspective, thinking about how we, as humans, conceptualize these things.
So the core idea is that literally everything we experience can be understood as different combinations of these four states of space.
Precisely. Space can be filled or empty, stationary or in motion. Those are the building blocks. Now, when space is stationary, he says it's inherently nonlinear. It's discrete. It's like a singularity, a black hole. And in this state, time, as we understand it, doesn't exist. He even suggests that within a singularity, time might be infinite in a way that's like the opposite of how we normally think about time. It's when space is in motion that it becomes linear, it gets dimensionality, and time, as empty space in motion, comes into existence.
The whole time equals empty space in motion thing.
Yeah.
That's a huge paradigm shift. Why does Dr. Fien think we should replace our traditional concept of time?
Well, he sees the accelerating expansion of the universe as basically the movement of empty space. And this movement, that's what we perceive as time. Black holes are crucial in this process. They act as anchors. They stop the expansion from going out of control. But there are also points where the universe could eventually start contracting. He even suggests that space itself can act like both a particle when it's stationary or filled and a wave when it's in motion or empty. And he thinks this might explain the whole wave-particle duality thing that's so confusing in quantum mechanics. His main argument is this. If we ditch time as a separate linear dimension and replace it with empty space in motion, which, by the way, might behave very differently at the quantum level, maybe then we can finally reconcile general relativity and quantum mechanics. They've been at odds for like a century. He also thinks that gravity isn't a true force, not in the way we usually think about forces. It's just an outcome of the way filled space and empty space interact.
What about black holes? How does this all play out in those extreme environments?
Well, in this model, as you add more and more mass, more filled space to a black hole, the amount of empty space associated with it also increases, potentially to infinity. This leads to the singularity at the center where space is truly stationary and time ceases to exist. And he also brings in the holographic principle here. He suggests that the singularity inside a black hole might actually be a holographic representation of information that's encoded on the black hole's event horizon. He thinks this whole framework of the four states of space is a much more elegant and simpler way to explain all the big stuff. Gravity, space, time, mass, they're all interconnected aspects of the same underlying reality.
Wow. So much to think about. Did Dr. Fien leave us with any, like, final thoughts to ponder?
He did. And they're pretty deep. He basically suggests that we should just get rid of the idea of time as a fundamental thing altogether. Instead, we should embrace the idea that reality is inherently nonlinear, especially once you remove this concept of linear time. He thinks that the space outside our light cone might be naturally nonlinear, while the space inside, the space we can observe because it's in motion, that's what we experience as linear time. He keeps emphasizing that gravity isn't a force in the traditional sense, but an interaction between filled and empty space. And he even reinterprets special and general relativity through this new lens of space and motion.
It's a pretty radical way to rethink our understanding of the universe. But let's circle back to the listener's interest in psychology. How does all of this physics stuff connect back to how we, as humans, understand the world? Especially given Dr. Fien's background in that field.
This is where Dr. Fien's personal intellectual journey is so fascinating. He talks about how he started with Piaget's developmental psychology and then went deep into physics, all because he wanted to understand space-time. And this brings us back to the spatial acquisition device, the SPAD, but now we can understand it in the context of his broader theory of space.
So how does the SPAD fit into this bigger picture? How does it relate to the four states of space and this idea of replacing space-time?
He takes this PAD idea further now. He suggests it's not just about understanding three dimensions, but also about our capacity for non-linear thinking. He contrasts it with the LAD, the language acquisition device, which he sees as more focused on linear language processing. And he still thinks the SPAD develops through Piaget stages, with object permanence being a crucial step.
What makes object permanence so important in the development of this PAD? What's the connection?
Well, Dr. Fien sees achieving object permanence as the moment when a child starts to grasp the stability of the physical world, the linearity of it. Before that, their understanding is fleeting. It's based on perception. It's almost like the wave function in quantum mechanics, you know, a sea of possibilities. But once they develop object permanence, they realize that objects exist continuously, independently. This lays the groundwork for building mental representations of the world and for thinking in a more linear way. He even proposes something called the object permanence quantum physics matrix, suggesting that this might be the bridge between the randomness of the quantum world and the determinism of the macroscopic world.
That's a deep connection to make. Mm-hmm. Object permanence linking the quantum and the classical. He also hints at a connection to consciousness, right?
Yeah, he does. He thinks that object permanence might actually be related to the emergence of consciousness itself, and maybe even to that weird phenomenon in quantum mechanics called wave function collapse, you know, where a particle goes from being in multiple states at once to a single definite state when it's observed. The idea is that the ability to understand that things exist even when we're not looking at them, that might be a fundamental part of what it means to be conscious.
So the very foundation of our understanding of the world, all the way back to infancy, might be connected to some of the deepest mysteries in physics and consciousness. It really brings the psychology perspective full circle. Now, Dr. Fien also talks about this idea of linear versus nonlinear reality. How does his theory of space play into that?
He points out that the way we think, especially in math and how we experience time, it's all very linear. We see time as a straight line, past, present, future. But then you have psychology, and especially quantum mechanics, where things seem inherently random. He uses this analogy of points scattered randomly inside a circle. You can't easily describe the relationships between those points with a linear equation. You need statistical approaches to make sense of the overall pattern.
So is he saying that maybe we're trying to impose this linear way of thinking onto a reality that's actually nonlinear?
Exactly. He wonders if the reason we struggle to fully explain things like human behavior or those weird quantum phenomena is that we're too focused on linear cause and effect. Maybe your reality, at its core, just doesn't work that way. He even jokes that maybe there's a mathematical acquisition device hardwired in our brains, kind of like the LAD for language and the SAD for space, but this one makes us think linearly.
Wow. We've covered so much ground in this deep dive, and it's definitely challenged my assumptions about, well, reality itself. As we wrap things up, what are the biggest takeaways from Dr. Fien's theories, the things our listeners should really keep in mind?
I think the most important ideas are those four states of space: stationary, in motion, filled, and empty, and how Dr. Fien uses those to redefine time and gravity. Replacing time with empty space in motion is a radical idea, but it has the potential to change everything. And then there's the spatial acquisition device, the SPAD, which develops through Piaget's stages and hinges on object permanence. This provides this fascinating link between psychology and physics, connecting how we learn as children to the fundamental nature of reality.
It's incredible how these two fields, psychology and physics, can inform each other in such profound ways. It really does offer a new perspective on everything, from how babies learn about the world to the structure of the cosmos.
It makes you realize that there's so much more to discover, so much we don't understand yet. It challenges us to question our most basic assumptions about space and time, and to be open to new ways of thinking about the universe.
So for you, dear listener, a final thought to ponder. What if our experience of time is really just the movement of empty space? How would that change your understanding of consciousness itself? Could the spatial acquisition device be the key to understanding not just three dimensions, but even more abstract, seemingly non-linear concepts like quantum entanglement or those enigmatic singularities? We encourage you to check out the links we've provided and continue exploring these mind-bending ideas.